It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Tomb Stadium, in the strangest possible terms, I guess we better mark this, Ger Flanagan, as a moment in time that we'll probably never forget. The strangest Mayo Galway game about to take place.
Unbelievable, Rob. Yeah. But yeah, I've never felt Tomb Stadium as eerie and as quiet as it is. Being able to hear the players in their warm-up, hear Kieran MacDonald give instructions. It's surreal, but what a feeling to have it back. What excitement around the place. You can tell by everyone that's lucky enough to get in into Tomb Stadium here that they're absolutely delighted that the football's back and just buzzing for this game.
Yeah, exactly. And Galway made one change. Damien Comer's in. Otherwise, it's the team they named on Wednesday. But, you know, that's kind of an important change.
A massive change, yeah. Like, I think the two key men that were missing for Galway from an optics level during the week were Shane Walsh and Damien Comer. And now with one of those in, it makes the challenge look an awful lot steeper for Mayo, a relatively inexperienced Galway team. But when you have Damien Comer inside, it just adds a completely different element, and they're a completely different threat. And you know, going by numbers anyway, he'll be matching up with Stephen Cohen. It'll be a tough challenge for Cohen. I don't know how the attributes to mark Comer, but it'll be interesting to see if Lee Keegan goes on him or something like that. But yeah, I'm just buzzing now for this start, Rob.
Coming up in today's podcast, well, we'll have the in-game, which is what starts it all off with our post-game audio. We're going to hear a voice of Billy Joe Patton. A little bit later, we'll also hear some other voices along the way. John Casey's beside us, so we'll chat to him during the match as well. And lots of other voices too. We'll take you through the story from Tomb Stadium today. Yeah, as Mayo come out of their huddle and the throw-in's about to take place, the Galway subs up behind us. Mayo subs down the other end of the stand, so you might hear them in the background during the game. That's about the only atmosphere there's going to be.
Yeah, and I'm very interested just to see what it's going to be like to hear the players communicating with each other, hear the sidelines communicating, and to hear the subs from behind us as well. It's going to be a completely different experience, I think, of what we're used to. But I think we can take a lot away from that today. I'm just looking at the lineup there now. Damien Comer has gone into midfield for the throw up. And Mayo seem to be lining up as per program, which is unusual, but could be a sign of things to come.
One exception being, of course, as expected, Aidan O'Shea into the middle, and he wins the throw-in as well, which would get a roar on a normal day, but it's not a normal day. Early stages, Mayo on the attack. Aidan O'Shea playing through an advantage. Good chance for an early score. Fionn McDonagh, it doesn't matter. We're going to go back for the free. We've got a score from Conor Loftus so far and a beautiful catch in midfield. David McBride's first involvement was to win a free as well for having a shirt pull. And there's been a couple of other little cameos. And now, Killian O'Connor stands over this freejer. Not a bad start. We'll just watch him wind this up and then bring you in. Mayo looking for a 2-point lead to start this game. If you want to settle into a contest, that's the way to do it. 2-0.
Yeah, great score, Rob. And a nice bit of build-up play. As you said, a great start from Conor Loftus. Point inside the first 30 seconds in the mark. But that was a lovely point there. Killian came out to the 45, took the ball off, I think it was Keegan, slipped it in off the left boot to Aidan O'Shea, who's playing in full forward. 3 minutes around O'Shea straight away. And O'Shea wins a free and Killian pops it over. So it was a nice passage of play.
Damien Comer has just pulled the hamstring. He was a late replacement and he is off. It's his first run. Mayo are playing on and they've got a free in, but it's the most significant moment of the game so far.
Huge, and you could just hear the groans from the Galway crowd here. I think even from Mayo, the hammer has just gone on him. What are we, 3 minutes into the game? Like, that's not only a massive blow for Galway in this game, it's a massive blow for their season ahead to lose Comer this early. I know the physios are standing over him here now. They've signalled for Michael Daly to come in straight away. They're not going to risk him, but this is a massive, massive blow for Galway.
Push him!
Look at all the space inside. Interesting. That's a great ball, isn't it? Killian. Goal chance for Mayo. Mark Moran has just scored it. The space they created inside, Killian O'Connor off a pass made in O'Shea to Moran, but it was really well worked.
Brilliant goal, and it was Moran who won the ball. First off, the opposite side of the field, Matty Ruan worked it across to Fionn into Owen McLaughlin, and what a ball from Aidan O'Shea there into Killian. Killian just wrong footed his marker, ran inside, and actually ripped Galway open. That was a absolutely delightful move. And what a start for Mark Moran, 1-1 so far in his first 15 minutes of senior football for Mayo.
Absolutely outstanding. Galway are starting to win the odd kick out, so that was changing the momentum. They've just won one there, but weren't able to turn it into scores. Can they do it now? They need to hit back. Mayo chasing back. Really good work from Conor Loftus there to just force a bit of a turnover. Galway have managed to stay on the front foot and get a score. Paul Conroy, by God, they needed that. 1-5 to 2 points. We've got 12 minutes gone. It's the water break. Mayo 1-7, Galway 5 points. That's a fantastic scoreline to start the conversation here at this break.
Yeah, and I think the main standout player after 17 minutes and whatnot is definitely Mark Moran, 1-2 so far. Two excellent points, especially that second one there. 40 yards out, was looking away before it went over the bar. But a good start for Mayo. You know, they're playing good football. They're winning their own kickouts. I think only one of seven of David Clark's kickouts they haven't won. And now there was one conspicuous one down there as well that ended up in Paul Conroy getting the point. But other than that, you know, they haven't really done anything wrong. Defenders are doing well. David McBride's having a good match up there with Paul Conroy. Oisin Mullen and Ian Burke is going to be another one. And Mullen's getting forward, dragging him out. And Conroy is troubling him then when he gets on the ball inside the 45. So that's a good battle to look forward to. And Aidan O'Shea and Sean Andy O'Kelly as well, two physical specimens. They're going at it in the forward line. So there's plenty to take away in the first 17 minutes.
All right, as we get to the start of the second quarter, if you like, the water break almost over. John Casey's on the other side of me. John, overall, how are you feeling?
Yeah, superb so far. I mean, the nation is seeing Mark Moran, I'm sure, for the first time, and a goal and 2 points, very impressive. And I suppose apart from his goal and 2 points, he has absolutely got magnificent hair. Let's be honest about this, Rob. His hair is just pure class. So, but Mayo playing with great intensity, you have to say. Really up for the game. Aidan O'Shea started really well. David McBride having a great tussle with Paul Conroy. Oisin Mullen starring so far, cornerback. Really looking forward to it. Deservedly 1-7-5 ahead of the break.
Oh, what a goal there from Paddy Durkin. It's just a movement. Jerry, talk us through that.
Yeah, we were just saying that Oisin Mullen had been struggling with Burke from a defensive point of view. Ian Burke is getting an awful lot of space, but you're almost giving him the benefit of the doubt of it because of the damage he's doing forward, going forward. And like, he just made 40, 50 yards right down the heart of the goal of defence there. Slipped it off to Aidan O'Shea. O'Shea had Paddy Durkin coming off the shoulder. We thought he delayed it just a second too long. But what a goal, like sweeping move. Galway didn't know what hit them, and so far it's been an unbelievable performance from Mayo. Defensively pretty good, it has to be said. Great big block down there from Mohamed Lachlan, but going forward, unbelievably swift and slick.
Free inside there, you're just distracted. Sean Andy pulling on Aidan O'Shea. So I mean, Galway have been picking off scores when they can to keep themselves alive, but that second goal now, with all the injuries, with the two key injuries as well, obviously Comer, the big moment for them, and Duane as well, making another change now. Bad times at the moment from a Galway perspective.
Yeah, and you know, for a team who are getting, they're getting a lot of space inside the full forward line. Their full forwards are all one-on-one most of the time. Mayo aren't dropping that many players back, but they're living off scraps, really. They're under an awful lot of pressure when they shoot. And like, when you take Shane Walsh and take Damien Comer out of that team, they seem to be lacking an option, or lacking someone who'll take it on. Like, they're making the third substitution here now, Adrian Varley coming off the bench. And you know, I don't think Paul Joyce would have foreseen three substitutions before half time.
2-11, play 7 points. Half time. Mayo 2-17, Galway 7 points. Love the way scorelines can say so much.
Scarcely believable scoreline, it has to be said. But what a half of football for Mayo. When was the last time they put up 2-17 in one half, and they've just absolutely ripped Galway open every single chance they get. Galway at 6-7 as well. Defensively, all over the place. Offensively, don't seem to have any kind of answers to beat their markers in defence. And you know, the damage the likes of Oisin Mullen is doing driving forward, and there seems to be no Galway man picking him up. And then Conor Loftus, who we had our worries about and concerns about playing midfield, has dominated. Matty Ruan beside him, every time he's getting the ball, he's driving on. But it's been such a energised performance for Mayo, and yeah, scarcely believable as well.
Every Mayo player has their own plastic box with their own gear and extra bits and bobs that they need. So it's just an interesting kind of way of adhering to whatever extra little detail they can in terms of touching other equipment and all the different safety protocols that are there. Some of the Mayo subs are going to stay out and do a little kickabout at halftime. John Casey joined us midway through that half. He is coming back in here now. Jer has just summarised some of that, but yeah. Thoughts?
Yeah, unbelievable first half. Look, we can't ignore the fact that Galway lost Johnny Duane and Damien Comer early on. Big blow for them, you know, with the games coming thick and fast. But, you know, Mayo, when they've their backs to the wall, they tend to turn up these performances. But, you know, where do you start about who was playing brilliant for Mayo? Everybody, really. Mm. You know, going forward, Oisín Mullen has been superb. He is having his hands full a little bit with Ian Burke from a defensive point of view. But Aidan O'Shea, lads, in this form, he's untouchable, really. It's very, very difficult to mark him. He's tormenting Sean Andy O'Kelly. Like, physically, he's all over him, setting up everything. But the two goals we got were just absolutely sensational passages of play. The first one, Aidan O'Shea gave a lovely dinky little pass into Killian O'Connor, who probably at the time might have kicked the ball over the bar himself, fed it to Mark Moore, and superb finish. And for the second, Oisín Mullen's run out of defence here. Like, he was very reminiscent. I was at the Dublin Meath game last night, and Donald Keoghan for Meath was able to burst through the Dublin defence just like Mullen done there, and basically nobody was able to lay a finger on him. Gave the ball to Aidan O'Shea from any other day, you know, kick it over the bar and get your simple point. No, he smelled the goal was on, waited for Paddy Durkin on the overlap, popped it to him, and Paddy Durkin finished brilliantly. But, you know, sensational first half of football. Backs to the wall stuff, needed the win. Galway are not at the races at all. 16-point first half lead. Who thought this? You know, Mayo were outsiders coming into this game. This is a bit of a whitewash, but it won't be reflective for what's to come down the line from a Galway point of view. But no, you know, they'll. But it is. I mean, Mayo are doing what they've got to do, and everybody, to a man, is playing well. Really, you know, we didn't think Conor Loftus was going to play midfield. We actually laughed. Yeah. We laughed at that team being named, going, who's he trying to fool here?
Speak for yourself, John.
It's you who's laughing, John.
Ger thought Connor was going to be playing full back, actually. That's what he told me beforehand, anyway. So, you know, I don't know where. I think he's still on the high after Ball's great triumph in the intermediate. So, yeah. But Connor Loftus is actually playing midfield, and he's picking up John Maher, who's a massive unit. A Salt Hill guy that he's humongous, as big as Aidan O'Shea, but Conor Loftus has done splendidly well. He's tackling back, tracking back, scored the first point of the day, couple of marks, and overall it's just a look at here, it's a 10 out of 10 kind of phrase. I don't know which English soccer team sing the song when their team are playing well. It's just like watching Brazil. Well, that's what it is like for the first half. Mayo are playing flamboyant stuff and really, really good.
Last question then is to balance this, because you know the way people in Mayo are so cautious, and they'll be like, oh God, Galway, don't write off Galway and all that kind of stuff. So if Mayo are 10 out of 10, what are you giving Galway?
Galway were very poor, but that's not a fair reflection on. And I'm not shy about saying this. And Colin Keyes is here behind me. I done a piece with him for the Independent on Saturday, and I have no doubt if this game took place last March when it was supposed to, this could have been a reversal result, because Galway were
scored 225 against Tyrone.
Galway were flying, and Mayo weren't. And you know, blessing in disguise, really, when on reflection, that the game wasn't played, because we could be now a Division 2 football team for the 2021 season. But look at Mayo, in times of need, respond back to the wall stuff. It's great. It's just great. Ogren, well, I mean, the debutants, Mark Moran, superb.
So relaxed,
really good. David McBride is having his hands full with Paul Conroy, let's not mistake it. He has had a couple of aerial duels and he's come out well out of them, but Conroy is a cute footballer, and he's a damn good footballer, so it's going to be a learning curve for him going forward.
The applause you hear there is for Conor Loftus scoring Mayo's third goal of the game, which puts them back to the halftime margin of a 16-point lead as the water break comes. Lovely goal again. Great from Loftus, who will be one of the names that comes out of this with their reputation enhanced.
Yeah, and to be honest, a goal probably somewhat against the run of play here in the second half. Galway, you'd say, might be on top, but Mayo's kind of tempo has dropped a small bit, which was not natural enough.
they have the victory now, they're holding on to it, playing a bit safer. Ball isn't going in direct as often as it was in the first half. But it's an experience display for Mayo. They're just taking that extra second on the ball, not giving it away cheaply. And that play came from that goal there from Loftus came from that. You know, patient, let the defender get sucked, long ball over the top, and Loftus did well. Had an opportunity to hit it early on, took the dummy solo, went round the goalkeeper and finished in the net. And 3:20 to 13 points now. It's probably safe to say there's no way back for Galway from here.
Yeah, I'm liking Dermot O'Connor had a lovely turnover there, just a good well-timed hit. Killian O'Connor, it was a 2-on-1 and he just read it brilliantly. Lee Keegan against Paul Conroy a couple of seconds ago, very strong. Those little battles the Mayo are still working hard at.
Yeah, defensively they're working very hard. Seem to have the beating of the man most of the six defenders, marking man on man. They're not really dropping men back. Now you are seeing obviously the likes of Aidan O'Shea and Killian O'Connor drop a bit deeper when Galway are in possession, but relatively and for most passages of play it's man on man, and Mayo defenders are looking very good too.
I think of something you said, Ger, as the full time whistle goes, you know, the atmosphere affects the way football's being played. You noticed that on the field this year in the Intermediate Championship. Have you noticed anything about today's game that was a bit different, maybe with the lack of atmosphere?
Yeah, well, the point you just made there, there was a kind of lack of niggle from the game. Galway Mayo games of old, right from the off, before the ball is even thrown up, there was that massive roar from the crowd. That energy was filtering into the players as well, and it was bringing a bit of an issue, a bit of a niggle. Obviously, no player wanted to be seen to be taking a backward step at all, so you're going to play with a bit of a harder edge. So there was that lack of, I suppose, lack of an edge, lack of bite in one way. But in terms of football, really exciting game. It was open, it was free flowing, a lot of good football, particularly for Mayo. But what a way to sort of resume their league 3:23. What a score that is.
Yeah, Galway might have taken John Casey 17 points before this game. They might have been a little bit worried that it mightn't be enough, but that's one of those anomalies of a game like this. Obviously, they're going to tag on a few more points than maybe their performance would have warranted. 3:23 for Mayo, phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal score, and it is. Look, it's a worrying concession. Let's not mask it. Conceding 17 in any day is a lot to concede, but okay. It's masked by the fact that they scored at 3:23, but... Yeah, look at here. They've done the job. The job was ultimately done at half time. Very, very impressive first half. The second half dwindled into nearly challenge game effort.
The work rate was still there for Mayo, though.
Work rate was still there. You see, players, there's a fine line. This is, ultimately Mayo are playing for their lives here, Rob, for their Division 1 proud 23 year standing, the longest standing team in Division 1, and that's ultimately on the line. And hopefully, when this pandemic thing passes next year and we're welcoming teams to McHale Park again for Division 1 football, that you'll be playing against Dublin and against Kerry and against Donegal and these guys and not languishing in Division 2. And I think that's crucial for the players' development, I said, and basically the coffers, the finances. Like, you're going to get 10,000-12,000 plus at every Division 1 game. You're not guaranteed okay. that. Well, hopefully. This is, of course, when this all thing... is gone, but
also, I suppose the secondary point there is, even in a worst case scenario where you're not getting the big crowds, it's the level of football that prepares you for championship.
That was my next point, was the competition. Like, you want to be competing against the best just to see, and you have players out there, and just you can name any of them really today, but just to watch Tommy Conroy there, deft chip up there running along the in line. Shame he didn't finish it. Keeper ended up saving it. But they're the light little things you want to see. Just to watch him here at the last minute. I'm naming Tommy Conroy because he had the last couple of passages of play here. Right in front of us, three Galway fellas after him. And I'm just having the confidence to put the shoe down and take the ball on, albeit a high solo ultimately cost him possession. But
yeah, but he had an advantage. I don't know why he didn't advantage, get it.
But he done, that's what you want to see. And you want to see the likes of them fellas. Owen McLaughlin is like a thoroughbred up and down the field. He seems to have boundless energy, able to keep going and keep going and keep going. Very, probably wouldn't be as good in front of goal as Paddy Durkin, but certainly has the energy and sets up and lays the ball off well. So he's another person to look at, with great interest. Mark Moran, brilliant first half. Did fall away a little bit in the second half, but that can be expected, as I keep emphasising. The job was done at half time. So look, at this all boils down to a shootout for Division 1 Lives next week against Tyrone, but job done here. Did I see that happening this time? Yeah, I think Mayo were 11-8 to win this game this morning, outsiders, and to win it so comprehensively and banging 3-23, very impressive.
And then Galway are going on to take on Dublin, aren't they? And obviously they got a couple of weeks break then to Sligo, so they have a few things to worry about now.
A lot of things to worry about. I mentioned it there earlier. I mean, Damien Comer, Shane Walsh was sitting beside us here, not used. I mean, he was the star of Division 1 football before the COVID thing hit. It's going to be interesting to see. I said it last night on Radio 1, Rob, and I'm going to say it now. There was going to be stars of the championship when it was played, if it was played during the summer. There are going to be players, the likes of Mark Moran, that could shine, that wouldn't have got a sniff of football had it been played through the summer. So that's where, and there is going to be players like the likes of Damien Coburn. You know, will Shane Walsh be the player he was last March or March and April? And the answer is, we just don't know. This COVID thing is going to hit people for six, and it's also going to bring players, the likes of Mark Moran, on. And there was a couple of players playing for Meath last night that I was told 100% would not have seen football for Meath in 2020, only for the COVID thing. So it'll be interesting to see if players, with the likes of Darren Cohn coming on there, a winter championship could suit the likes of him. He's been very good in the league, and you know, he dwindles sometimes when the ground gets harder, but he's certainly a player of interest. But yeah, look, it all augurs well for the future. Great victory, any time to come up here. I mean, this is the where I played all my times against Galway, was here in Tuam. It's the heartbeat of Galway football, plus it's torture trying to get out of Salt Hill, so we've a nice easy ride home, so this is a lot handier to get home.
Yeah, bar the two lads in the Velux windows behind the goal, there's literally no one going to be
one
leaving
of them
here.
Now is one of them is the Jimmy McGuinness spy, so I'm trying to figure out which one it is. Is it the guy on the left or the right? But I tried to zoom in there, but my phone wouldn't go close enough. But yeah, them two fellas, not only do they like watching matches, they like watching warm downs as well, so they still haven't had enough. So yeah, but one of them guys is the culprit for the video, Jim McGuinness, that's for sure.
We're going to go off and get some audio, Ger, but final thoughts as we watch Mayo just doing their warm down there. They've had their chat go away as well.
Exciting, I think. Just to see the likes of Conor Loftus play so well in midfield, I think it's pretty exciting. Particularly, I think everyone doubted it, including myself, at the start of the week when the team got named. Mark Moran to come in, by all accounts, he was going very well from what we've heard in the pre-season and the challenge game. But to see him handle himself so well there, particularly in the first half, I think got 1-2, was it? Ran out of steam a bit in the second half, but you know, to see him handle himself so well, to see him winning ball, to see him not look out of place in terms of his physicality, it's very exciting going forward. To see Aidan O'Shea play so well at full forward, very exciting. Tommy Conroy too, 3 points from play, had that kind of willingness to drive forward with the ball every time he got it. Exciting at the minute. Still probably a bit of work to do defensively, I thought. In the first half they were a bit shaky, while Oisín Mullan did an awful lot of damage going forward with the ball, probably got caught out a couple of times by Ian Burke, but look, Jesus, come to Tuam and hitting 3-23 or whatever it was, it's hard not to be happy. James, happy with that, I presume?
Yeah, great energy and great enthusiasm by the team. You know, I said before the game that they were looking forward to play, and they play that way, you know. So look, very happy with that aspect of it. So yeah, good win.
Good debut for Mark Moran as well. Look very comfortable.
Yeah, we'd 521s on there, and we brought on two more. So a lot of the young players that have come through have been are really talented. You know, we've Tommy Conroy and obviously Oisín as well that made debuts earlier on. And but Mark is, as he has been for Westport all season, he's very comfortable on the ball. And both sides of players, so it did extremely well today. Yeah.
Lack of a crowd, James, was it much of a factor, or how did you find it yourself?
I think once the game, it's a bit weird when you're right, but I think when the game gets going, it was still noisy down where I was anyway, so it was fine. I think when the game gets going, it sort of diminishes a bit.
Scoring wise, James, that was a serious score to rack up, but the table now as well, crucial.
Yeah, and I know you won't believe me, but we haven't looked at tables or scores or anything. We're just trying to bring as much energy as we could to the game and every training session, and just play together. You know, and I think we did that today, and we'll we'll set down for Tuesday and train again Tuesday and try and build it on, hopefully.
What impressed you most today?
I think our teamwork was very good today. Looking to try and give the right ball at the right time, good support lines. We dropped it a bit at the start of the second half. I think we just held on to the ball a bit too long. But I think when we were moving the ball and our energy was high, I thought we were very, very good. And as I said, I do think our young players are, there's a lot of quality there. You know, they're very good ball winners. And they're certainly adding to the mix.
I know you can't answer this question, but how confident would you be now that you will have a season that you'll see it out at the very end?
I don't know. I was confident up to a few days ago. I don't know. You know, I think there's a meeting tomorrow, but you know, look at it's the players are providing a lot of entertainment out there, but we need to think of the players as well. You know, they're families and loved ones as well. So look, whatever the advice is tomorrow, we'll go with it.
Would you be hopeful that you'll be more hopeful after this weekend has passed, yesterday's passing of the passing without incident, that GMI proved that it's by its nature that inter-county teams live in bubbles.
Yeah.
That it might be in a place to see it through.
Yeah, it's so hard to know. I don't know, and I don't know if the GA teams live in bubbles. They're all going home to family and to work tomorrow. You know, so it's a bit different to maybe professional teams. So there is that to be factored in, but there's a lot of controls in place, and you could see it here today, you know, and doing everything humanly possible. So hopefully that is enough, but I genuinely don't know.
From a management point of view, James, just the whole uncertainty of it and the life in the new normal, what's that like?
As I was saying, we've broken it down that we're not worried about what we can't control or do anything about. You know, we'll send out a message tonight to the players. We'll have training on Tuesday, and hopefully that training will go ahead. And if we get there and we've training, we'll try and make it as good as we can and plan for the next one. It's that simple. That's where we are at the moment.
In terms of injuries and the squad, James, Kevin McLaughlin involved
today. Kevin was very close today. Just didn't want to risk him today. So trained this morning in good shape, but couldn't risk him today. Just a slight strain. And we had a number of guys.
Rob Henley.
Rob, a number of guys ready to go. Yeah, pushing hard. So it's very competitive in there at the minute. Very competitive. So everyone's pushing on. So it's great.
Just the injury to Jason Doherty, ACL, is it confirmed or?
Yeah, Jason had bad luck. A training session was playing really, really well, and just had bad luck. So look, we're constantly thinking of Jason, and he's an absolute pro. So he's helping us out, even through his injury. So he's a brilliant guy, and the guys are in constant touch with him. But he had some bad luck, yeah. Just injured as well, and just getting him checked to see. But it's not one we can rush. So the medical team are looking at it. So hopefully he'll be in.
Likely
okay,
to see him this year, is a possibility?
I genuinely don't know. It's but look at every week that goes past, it's so tight. He may or may not. We don't know yet.
That was the voice of James Oranger asking the early questions in that interview. Some interesting insight into his mindset about the potential of the All-Ireland continuing. Let's hear from Pádraig Joyce before we kind of assess both interviews. Some pretty good lines in here from Pádraig, very honest as ever.
Pádraig, very disappointing.
Yeah, Kevin, disappointing day. Probably the most embarrassing day I've been involved with Galway in my career. In my 43 years of age, I've never seen a performance as bad, to tell you the truth.
And from the point of view of the display, we just weren't up to the mark.
No, we weren't. We were mile off it, like Minigan boys all day, and I take responsibility for that as the manager of the team. I'm not going to throw the lads under the bus. I prepared them, I got them on the pitch, and I take full responsibility.
And a couple of injuries as well on top of that.
Yeah, look, that's what happens. We're not tuned in and you're not ready for battle. I pick up knocks, and we picked up a knock from centre-forward, centre-back. Like, so, but look, we were chasing shadows at that stage anyway. So after 15, 20 minutes, we were trying to climb a mountain that we shouldn't be climbing.
Mayo certainly impressed.
Yeah, they were well up for the game. We knew that should have come up. Like, not. They're a good side. They've been in the final the last couple of years. Like, we're the second best team in the country in Norway's after Dublin. Pushed them really close over the years, and we knew it was coming. Like, but look, no matter who we're playing today, like, anybody would score. But the way Mayo scored, the way we played, like, we just stood off for men. didn't get involved, didn't make any contact, didn't show anything. With lads off the pitch at half time there that even broke sweat.
As you say, lads hadn't broken sweat. Yeah, took the second half.
Yeah, look at it. When you're playing your fiercest, when you're playing your fiercest rivals, like, if you need me to motivate lads, they're in the wrong game, like, you know, so we shouldn't have had to be motivating lads. You know, we're up for the game. I don't know, we can go up for it. It's a psychological thing, but don't know what it is, but it's just then you're fighting a losing battle when you go so far behind early on. No matter what you do or what you do, you're playing catch up the whole day long, and then the other team grows in confidence and they punish us every time. And we handed them shot kick outs, we handed them kick outs from our own side, we didn't contest ball in the middle of the field, and like we just got well beat out of the field. We're beating every department. Two or three fellas in fairness to us, when they went on, and they worked hard and tried hard, didn't let the jersey down to the bitter end, but we had too many passengers there.
How hopeful will you be that there will be a game next week and that there will be a championship?
Well, I'd be hoping there at half time there'll be no more matches the way things are going. There will be, I'd say, no, yeah.
You think there will be?
I'd say so, yeah. Look at it. I think the GAA is needed in the country. I've said it before. I know it might give people a lift. They won't get it in Galway today for that performance, but I think GAA has a huge part to play in society, like, you know. And I think it has to be safe, obviously, to do it, and the expert will advise on that. But I really hope that the effort lads have put in, it's not just Galway, it's every county, the county players, and they put in effort with the clubs that they get a chance to represent their county. And I think sport for the winter needs the GAA to be playing, to be honest. The country needs it.
The final thing, you mentioned during the week that you were waiting feedback from the panel regarding, you know, Jim and the session he did. Have you had that feedback?
We got it there today, so I don't think I left Jim will probably have the phone knocked off now. We'll try and contact him after that.
But do you envisage him being involved?
I'm not sure. If he's available, we'll take him. We'll have a word with the Pope as well if he's going to come over to us.
I have to say, Ger, you know, I'm an older guy than your good self. So the 1998 Galway team are one of the greatest teams I've ever seen play football, really, and what they did. And I have a kind of a fond memory of them, even though they're our rivals. Pádraig Joyce, obviously, a key man in that. But he is a likeable individual, even though he's stern and he's driven. And I'm sure he loves beating Mayo as much as anyone. And he came across very well there, considering how painful that must have been to watch.
Yeah, in fairness, he conducts himself very well in interviews. Open it before the cameras even started rolling. He said, I have very little to say to you here now, lads. And in fairness to him, he did go on then for 3 or 4 minutes afterwards and gave a couple of great lines. Like, he was calling out for the Pope at half time, he said, or hoping the rest of the championship and the football to be abandoned for the year at half time when it was put to him. What was his thoughts? But I think the big line that stands out to me, I think he said it's his most embarrassing day involved in Gaelic football for 40 years or something like that. And you know, he's probably right. It was absolutely terrible performance from Galway, and they have a lot of soul searching to do next week when they face Dublin.
Yeah, can't get yourself up for your rivals. What's going on? And when you get beaten by that much, you can start to question how up for it they were, and so on. But again, I suppose the final thing I'll say about Pádraig Joyce's point is the fact that he made sure that he took a lot of it on his own shoulders as well, which would be his style. The wider point, which was interesting, is if you were to ask which manager was sceptical about the potential and the prospects of being able to properly run the championship and which manager was adamant that it had to continue, it was kind of unusual that it went the opposite way for who should be more positive coming out of this ground, because James Horan spoke very well, very honestly about his perspective, you know, his thoughts on it, and they differ a little bit from Pádraig.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know. He did seem very sceptical on the whole championship. I'd say concerned at the uncertainty as well around whether or not it's going to go ahead. I think he said that there'd be a text sent out for Tuesday training, and if it goes ahead, it goes ahead. And kind of, I think in the mindset that there's a chance that it mightn't go ahead. And you know, it must be difficult from a manager's perspective, trying to do things in accordance with all the rules and regulations around COVID-19 now at the minute, and just the whole uncertainty of the championship, because you know there's a meeting Monday tomorrow, it'll be done by the time this podcast comes out, and you know we don't know what's going to come out of that meeting. There could be no football next week. You just don't know. While it's, I don't think it's a possibility, it's not impossible, and that's the whole certainty I think around. For inter-county managers, you know, they're pushing guys, but at the same time, I think in the back of their heads, they know that the carpet could be pulled from underneath this next week, and then, you know, you mightn't have a championship until January or whatever.
We have other bits to talk about, but if you're sitting at home and you're lifted by everything you've seen and heard so far, well, just prepare yourself to go a little bit higher, because here's Martin Kearney. Martin Kearney, welcome back to the Mayo News podcast. You're a regular now at this stage.
Oh, yeah, look, that was tremendous.
Wasn't it really
incredible? Incredible display, wonderful display, very, really, really encouraging display from a Mayo perspective. Like, every player in the team played up to the standard you would hope for. But I thought the quality of the first half, their sharpness, their ability to find one another, their combination play and their enthusiasm for it was just so refreshing.
One of the things that struck me was, you mentioned it there, like a lot of the enthusiasm to find each other and the movement. So if you see the space they created for that first goal, it was pretty impressive. You could nearly see it before it developed.
Very much so. But the guy that really, I thought, made an awful lot of things tick today for Mayo was centre-forward Mark Moran. I thought he had a tremendous display for a guy making his debut. He looked an old hand rather than somebody who was coming in, you know, wet behind the ears. He just, his ability to find others, his ability to make the right decision when he had the ball, his movement off the ball was outstanding. Even if he wasn't getting it, he was moving. He was all the time trying to create space, trying to create difficulties for the goal of defence. He stretched them repeatedly. The number of assists, I think when one looks back in that game and sees the number of assists that he was involved in, apart from the golden 2 points or 3 points that he scored, I thought he just gave an exhibition of football there. And a really, really, really a very encouraging sign for the future from a forward perspective.
One of the tweets and one of the texts I got was just a person from outside the county saying, always said Aidan O'Shea should play full forward for you. There is a huge movement around the country who feels that that is his best position, and going into this very kind of rapid, quick championship, he's looking good.
Rod, I thought today, like, Aidan O'Shea in a full forward had a very fine game. But if you're there is a proviso. If you're playing him in there, you've got to let the ball in. Not maybe all the time, but you cannot starve from possession, because he's not a particularly patient son of a bitch. He likes being involved, understandably. And kind of when he's in there and he's in there for 5 minutes and nothing is happening, all of a sudden we see the itch. We see the scratch and we see him wanting to come out. But today he was liberally fed with the ball, in fairness, when he was in there. He got more scores today than I've seen him getting in a while for Mayo. And again, you know what was wonderful to watch today, Rob, was the tussle with himself and Sean Hannan.
The
bit lumps out of one another.
Yeah,
right to the very end, but it was always sporting. Yeah. It was fair, it was hard, and it was honest, and it was manly.
It's something about the game that we mentioned, and I'll mention to you as well. You know, maybe it's the atmosphere, maybe it's the time of year, but it was played in a good spirit.
I was played in a good spirit, but speaking of atmosphere, or lack thereof,
incredible.
Like, seeing Mayo score, what was it, 322 or something? And at 323, and only hitting four wides, and not a murmur from the crowd. You know, it's weird stuff. You know, I was reading yesterday about scary movies, and I was reading about Psycho, how it used to scare the hell out of people even to this day. But there was something this morning. I was out walking early and all I had was fog, and I came in here today in a big game like Mayo, going, no crowd, scary stuff.
Should they meet in the Connacht final and Sligo, Roscommon and Leitrim have something to say about that before anything happens, and of course we fingers crossed with all that's going on, should they meet in the Connacht final, it's going to be all the more unusual, strange, difficult.
Very much.
Connacht final with these two teams and no.
What I think is the price we're going to have to pay if we want football to go forward between now and Christmas. We're going to have to get used to this thing that there will not be any crowds. Mm-hmm. That it'll be played to empty stadia throughout the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, it leaves an All Ireland. Like, when you think about it, in the context of what I'm saying, if, for example, Dublin are all the time going to be deprived of shall we say a big crowd for their matches, you know, we always say the hill gives them a 16th man, maybe that tilts the balance a little bit kind of in favour of others. So maybe it's as good a year as any to have a cut at it, even though whoever wins the All-Ireland will be an asterisk after it.
There will be an asterisk. I'll finish on this, Martin, because you're a great man to speak about this here. Just off Midwest Radio, you speak to people all over the world. We do with this podcast as well. Just, do you have thoughts for the frustration that so many people have and all those people sitting at home? What's your thoughts for them right now that can't see it? But how important do you think it is that it's still continue?
Look, I think it's vital that it continues from the mental health point of view of the nation. Mm-hmm. Like, people can tune into it on radio, people can watch it on television, and I think, like, at weekends it'll give them something to look forward to. You know, at the moment you just bleed for people. Bleed the loneliness that people are experiencing, the frustration people are experiencing, the lack of liberty that they have taken for granted all over the years that all of a sudden has become a reality for them. So maybe by allowing sport to go forward at weekends, we're giving them a little bit of tonic that doesn't cost money over the counter, that just asks them, switch on your radio, switch on your television.
Brilliant, Martin. We're going to talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Well, I did say we covered all the ground of our thoughts on the, you know, COVID All-Ireland and playing these league rounds, and we said we wouldn't be doing that. We'd be taking the football for what it is. So that's what we're doing in this podcast now. And for what it is, what it's worth, you know, as we sit here on the section of the new seating just beside the main stand here in Tuam Stadium, the beautiful ground that is Tuam Stadium is one of the venues that you just love coming to. We're lucky. We've said it already. Mike said it before. I've said it a few times going to Connacht games. We're very lucky to get in today and watch the football live in front of us.
Yeah, incredibly lucky. And it was, you know, a really enjoyable game to be in on. Completely different experience of what a typical Mayo Galway National League game in Tuam Stadium would be.
Yeah.
You know, so bizarre in one way. No crowd, no abuse from the supporters. But, you know, just I think very exciting in one way. You know, you got to hear the players, you got to hear what they were saying to each other, you got to hear Pádraig Joyce, James Horn on the sideline, how they dish out instructions to the players. You got to hear Ciarán McDonald in the warm up, who was very vocal. You know, all these little bits that you'd never ever be able to hear again. And we got to see an unbelievable game of football. You know, we got to see Mark Moran make his National League debut and you know, play a stormer. We got to see Oisín Mullen having another really exciting game, Aidan O'Shea full forward, Killian O'Connor hitting 8 or 9 points again. You know, it's great to see these players in the shape they are, and it's a testament to them how fit they look and how sharp they look considering the layoff they've had from an inter-county perspective. As you said, Rob, we are the fortunate ones. What was there, excluding the players, was there 50 people in Tuam Stadium? Probably less in terms of stewards and media. A few cheeky fellas in the windows in the nearby houses looking on, but that's about it. So feeling very lucky, yeah.
Yeah, and about 20 stewards who I don't think they had much trouble finding volunteers to man the gates today.
Yeah, I think in terms of stewards, there's probably more stewards here than anyone else, I think. Yeah, just in case, I'd say if it got rowdy or something, you know, you can never have too many stewards.
I'll watch the hill, lads, I'll watch the hill. Moving on, I'm pressing record on my WhatsApp message to, let's see if I can do that right. I'm pressing record on my WhatsApp message to Billy Joe Padden here so you and I can ask him some questions that he's going to record and send back to us and our listeners will hear them. So the first question for Billy Joe Padden, if you're listening, Billy Joe, is just your thoughts on such a phenomenal scoreline. I'm going to ask, sure, anything you want to get Billy Joe Padden's opinion on beyond that?
I think the opinion on Aidan O'Shea at full forward is a one that James Horn should stick with, and where have you been in favour of it?
Okay, Rob and Ger, how are you? Question number one. Well, Rob, yeah, look, incredibly impressive performance by Mayo right from the throw-in. Mayo were concentrated. They were full of energy, the words James Horn used himself in the post-match interview. They were really, 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 really focused on what they needed to do. And I think in every area of the field, I think that what we've seen from Mayo in the past, when they've been at their best, they've been high intensity, they've been running the ball through the middle of the field really impressively, driving out of that half-back line, driving out of their defence with the ball. And all throughout the game today, you saw whether it was Paddy Durkin, whether it was Matthew Rowan in midfield driving forward with the ball, Oisín Mullen, McLaughlin, all doing positive things, running in straight lines, putting their opposite number under pressure and getting deep into Galway territory. I suppose maybe what we haven't seen in the past has been such cohesion up front, and I think when you add that pace and power to the cohesion you saw particularly in the first half, it was devastating. And I think you have to give James Horan credit for the way he lined out the team. I really liked Aidan O'Shea at full forward. I obviously like Killian O'Connor playing there. I think Tommy Conroy is improving every time I see him. Every time he plays in there, he's, you know, showing a bit more know-how. He's definitely showing a lot more strength. He still has that pace, he still has that ability. He got a bunch of scores today, could have had a goal late on, showed strength at opportune times. I even like the fact that Conor Loftus is not in there. He's a skillful player, can take a point, but he's much better driving at the goals as opposed to playing with his back to goals. And the real probably surprise package for everyone was Moran. And, you know, he had a fantastic first 15 minutes where he scores 1-2, is involved in everything. The rest of the game, he was quieter. But I even like that more so than maybe what we saw in the first 15 minutes, because he did the simple thing. It was on when there was a big pass on to, you know, an opportunity to take a chance to put a diagonal into Aidan O'Shea. He took it and played some lovely balls, played a lovely ball in over the top of his left foot for Tommy Conroy in the second half that should have led to a goal. But he let the game come to him in after his blitz in the first 15 minutes. And that's important. And that shows great composure and patience in a player that has not played much football, obviously, at this level. In terms of Aidan O'Shea at full forward specifically, I think today was the day he showed to me his positioning was really, really good. And maybe that's down to some guidance he's getting in training, or maybe that's just on his own bat where he's looked at what he needs to do playing the full forward line. I know he's played a bit in the full forward line for his club this summer. I like the fact that he was taking up positions left and right of each parallelogram. That's something Kieran Donaghy used to do very well when Kerry were playing very direct crossfield balls into him, because when you make that ball a diagonal, it's much more difficult for the defender to defend against. I think that it really put O'Kelly under pressure, and I think Aidan could have even done better on some of those balls that came in the air, and he knows that. But maybe as he gets a bit better, gets a bit more match practice into him, he'll be able to hold on to those balls and bring other people into play. But generally, it was really, really positive. It's something I want to see Mayo persist with, and the reason for that was that Aidan O'Shea's positioning was better than it ever has been before in that area of the field.
I guess we'll definitely get his thoughts on all the guys like Owen McLaughlin and Mark Moran who stood out today. Maybe looking at our defensive setup as well, Oisin Mullen and McBrien as well. How does he think it's going to affect the mindset going into the championship for both teams as well? Will be another one. Anything else?
Defensively, is it a concern that we conceded 17 points? I know we hit 323, but at times in the first half, Galway did get a lot of space inside that 45, and when they did get Mayo one-on-one, they did cause them a bit of trouble, but with the same token, the corner forwards did a lot of damage going forward. So just I'd love to get Billy's thoughts on the whole sort of sacrificing a defence to optimise your attack.
Right, Billy Joe, you work away on that.
Hey lads, thanks for that. I will separate these into three issues. I'll start with the new players. I was incredibly impressed, particularly McLaughlin. I suppose we should talk maybe not so much about new players, but players that are inexperienced, because I think I've said on numerous occasions in the column and on the podcast that if Mayo were going to continue to play at the high level, we need new players to get up to the level of Lee Keegan, of Paddy Durkin, of Kevin McLaughlin, of Aidan O'Shea, of Killian O'Connor. And while we've seen potential in previous league campaigns from some players, whether it's Tommy Conroy or Conor Loftus or Oisin Mullen even last year in flashes, I think today was a day where you could say that yes, absolutely, those players are on the right track, and if they continue at that trajectory, well, you're dealing with some high quality inter-county footballers that can be relied on in big games in the future. I thought that McLaughlin did pretty much everything right. You know, used his pace, his power, ran in straight lines with the ball when those spaces there, recycled it when it was necessary, really drove at the heart of the Galway defence. And that's what Mayo halfbacks have done better than any other unit in the country over the last 15 years, maybe aside from Jack McCaffrey on his own. And it's been it was impressive again. I think Oisin Mullen, what he did it was kind of frightening in some ways, in that I think he impacted on his opposite numbers in a sort of a psychological way, in that every opportunity the ball came into his corner, well, if he won it back or if his colleague won it back, he was driving 60, 70 yards with the ball or on the shoulder of the ball carrier. And I know as a forward, that is demoralizing. That really puts you on the back foot because it tells you are dealing with an elite athlete here. And every chance he gets, he's going to push you into your own half and put you under pressure. And that's very much the way Keith Higgins and Lee Keegan and Paddy Durkin have played the game over the last number of years. And that was, it was really, really great to see. I think then in the forward line, you know, Moran, look, I've been crying out for a playmaker, somebody that can play in that area of the field, that can be relied on to recycle the ball, that can be relied on to take a shot when it's there, that can be relied on not to force things with passes into the full forward line when they aren't there. And I think you saw all of those attributes today from him, and it was a hugely positive first start. I'll maybe add a bit of caution in this, in that that's an extremely difficult area of the field to play. I think that in the first 15 minutes, maybe Galway disrespected them in some way and weren't as close to them as they should be. That's not going to happen in Tyrone next week, and that's not going to happen after that. Once you put, you know, qualities like that on display on television, you know, opposing managers are going to plan for you. So he has to deal with that and show the patience that he did in the second half of the game today. I think, again, Tommy Conroy showing that pace and power, showing more know-how in the full forward line, and that's going to be key for him, because I think that's where he's going to be most effective for Mayo, because you need that pace, that that sort of dynamic ability to carry the ball in close to goal, and that was, you know, entirely evident there. So I think maybe I'm missing on a few players, but they're the few that stood out really, really brightly, and I'm looking forward to seeing them playing again. Yeah, lads, I'll take the next two questions together in relation to Mayo defensively and the impact of a win. I think it is noticeable, and I think it's more important for Mayo maybe than Galway, and maybe I can stand to be corrected on this. And if you think of the last two big games Mayo and Galway have played in Limerick in the Championship last year, and again today, although this game didn't really mean anything to go in terms of the league table, it's an important game. It's the first game back after a long period out because of COVID. It's on 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, practically, and everyone in the country is nowhere else other than in front of their television watching that. And Mayo, in both those games, laid down a marker and dominated Galway right throughout. And I think that goes some way in the minds of the Mayo players, and particularly in the minds of the younger players, to, you know, saying we're right back there with Galway, because they have been dominant in this fixture for a period of time. And I think it'll give the young players a lot of confidence in terms of playing Galway again in the future and winning Connacht titles. And they maybe haven't experienced like winning Connacht titles against Galway like Aidan O'Shea and Killian O'Connor and Keith Higgins and these lads have in the past. So I think it's been important for them. I think Pádraig Joyce will rightly write it off as a game where they just weren't mentally prepared for it as a result of the long layoff. And it remains to be seen then how the rest of the championship goes for them, whether they can get back up to speed quickly enough. But a lot of it for me on Galway today, at the start in particular, was just, you know, a lack of concentration and not being mentally ready for the battle. So I think it'll be a benefit to Mayo mentally, but it's not something that I think is going to, you know, do either side, Mayo or Galway. You know, it's not going to be massive in the sort of psychological battle that will precede any game in the future between the two counties. Defensively, yes, I think you can be a little bit worried. Obviously, when you play with a half-back line and with somebody like Oisín Mullen, who's allowed, and even Lee Keegan, who's allowed to drive forward with the ball, allowed to get into the other half, there are times when you're going to get turned over and there'll be spaces in behind. There might even be times where, you know, some of your people in your full-back line are kind of leggy because they've just made a big run up the field 30 seconds earlier or a minute earlier, and you concede a little bit of space. And that was kind of worrying, and I think that Galway probably did butcher a few opportunities to maybe get some more scores and get in for goals. And so that's something that, you know, James Horn will be able to work on. I think that we really weren't as effective as we'd like to be on our own kickout. I think Fionn McDonagh was a good outlet, particularly in the early stages of the game. I think that's another thing that we need to work on. But look, there's time for that. When you score that amount, when you commit to playing attacking football, you know, for basically all 15 of your players, you're going to leave gaps behind, and you sometimes have to, you know, Rafa Benitez talks about the tactical blanket, and that if you try and attack with everything in your forward, you're going to leave yourself exposed at the back, and that was no different in this game today. And it was the right tactic by James Horn, because I think he looked at the people that Galway were missing. He was confident in the preparation that Mayo had, and he realized they're going to be real. He decided they were going to be really aggressive and attack this game, and that's what they did, and it was the right approach, and it paid off handsomely for them.
And that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you, Billy Joe Patton. Thank you, Ger Flanagan. Tyrone next weekend, who knows? I might get to see, you were saying, like, by the time this podcast comes out, I'm going to actually work extra fast now to get it out before any decisions make the podcast pointless, null and void.
Yeah, put a bit of pressure on the government and Neffet there, because, God, if we break the news here that there is football going ahead and they contradict us, it'll be an awful shame.
Yeah, method leaks have been a problem for quite some time in the last few weeks. But as James Horan and everyone else, every manager around the country is going to be watching this. The one thing that hasn't been covered at all in this podcast are permutations, because as we sit here and record this, Donegal and Tyrone are playing. But what we know is it goes to the final weekend anyways, and Mayo still have a chance of survival. This has improved their scoring difference as well, which might be no harm.
Definitely, I think, before the game, the league scoring difference was a possibility at all, but now after that victory does bring it into play somewhat, but I think a lot is revolving around the game that's currently underway at the minute.
Alright, so forgive us on that, folks, but you've got the full assessment of the game. From here, we'll talk to you next week.